Please turn with me in your Bibles to the Gospel of Luke, chapter 12. And as we continue our series through the Gospel of Luke, we come this morning to Luke 12, verses 1 through 3. And I invite you, if you would, bow with me as we ask for the Spirit's anointing on His Word. Heavenly Father, as we open up Your Word this morning, we encounter difficult words of Jesus. Lord, hard words, convicting words. So I pray, O Lord, for Your Holy Spirit to be at work in us. Lord, to convict where there needs to be conviction, to change where there needs to be change, and to bring hope where there needs to be hope. Lord, give us ears to hear and eyes to see and hearts that are cultivated and ready to receive the hard truths of Your Word, that it may bear fruit in us and in Your church to the glory of Your name, and for the advancing of Your kingdom. In Jesus' name, amen. If you are able, please stand with me for the reading of God's Word from Luke chapter 12, verses 1 through 3. This follows from the words of Jesus to the Pharisees and the lawyers, as we saw a few weeks ago, and then 2 weeks ago. And now Jesus turns His attention to His disciples. Meanwhile, when a crowd of many thousands had gathered, so that they were trampling on one another, and the imagery there is that, if you think back then, they didn't have microphones, they didn't have any kind of voice amplification, so massive crowds, if you want to hear the person speaking, the only way is to get closer to that person, so people are pressing upon and trampling each other, trying to get close to Jesus to hear Him speak. And Jesus began to speak first to His disciples, saying, "Be on your guard against the yeast of the Pharisees, which is hypocrisy. There is nothing concealed that will not be disclosed, or hidden that will not be made known. What you have said in the dark will be heard in the daylight, and what you have whispered in the ear in the inner rooms will be proclaimed from the roofs." You may be seated. Nathaniel Hawthorne said, "No man can wear one face to himself and another to the multitude without finally getting bewildered as to which may be the true." This idea of wearing two faces conveys what it means to be a hypocrite. And in our text this morning, Jesus has some hard words for His followers about the sin of hypocrisy. That word hypocrisy, as I mentioned a few weeks ago when we introduced it through the Pharisees, the word was originally used to describe play actors on a stage. The hypocrite was one who wore a mask and pretended to be somebody that he or she was not. The stage was a sham world, and the actor was a deceiver. And so the sin of hypocrisy is wearing a mask that puts on a good outward appearance but is hiding evil within. A hypocrite is one in whom truth has become utterly alien, swept away by a deep devotion to self-preservation and self-exaltation. Kevin DeYoung says, "The hypocrite is the Christian who uses the veneer of public virtue to cover the rot of private vice. He's the man living a double life, the woman fooling her friends because she has church clothes, the student who proudly answers the questions in Sunday school but then romps through immorality the rest of the week. Hypocrisy is thinking that who others think you are matters more than whom God knows you to be." And the Pharisees, of course, the Pharisees were masters of hypocrisy. In fact, of all the words Jesus used to describe the Pharisees, perhaps the word hypocrite is the one He used the most. And we saw that a couple weeks ago in Luke chapter 11 that Jesus said to the Pharisees, "You are clean on the outside, but inside you are full of greed and wickedness. You do the outward acts like tithing, but you neglect the inward matters of loving God and loving others. You care more about being honored by others than being approved by God. You're all about appearances. You're nothing but actors on a stage. You're wearing masks, putting on a good outward appearance, but you're full of corruption on the inside." And now in Luke 12, lest we begin to think that we can sort of dance over the graves of our opponent through these words of Jesus, Jesus turns his attention to us, to his own disciples, his own followers. "You are not immune to the evil of hypocrisy," Jesus says. "Be on your guard that what has contaminated the Pharisees does not contaminate you." These words of Jesus really are a heart check for us as Christians. Do you have hypocrisy in your life? It is such an ugly and destructive sin. And it manifests itself really in a whole variety of ways. Let me give you just a few examples. If you are harboring bitterness in your heart towards someone and not letting that person know, if you're hiding it, you're masking it, you're putting on the appearance that everything is okay between you and that person, when in reality it is not, that's the sin of hypocrisy. If you say nice things about your friend or your colleague or your boss to their face and then talk bad about them behind their back, that is the sin of hypocrisy. If you're quick to point out the sins of others but slow to identify sin in yourself, if you see the speck in someone else's eye while ignoring the plank in your own, if you refuse to see how you and your own sinfulness contributes to the brokenness of a relationship and seeing instead only the sin of the other, this is the sin of hypocrisy. If you have secret sins in your life, sin that remains hidden in the privacy of your heart, putting on the appearance of being a good moral Christian while masking corruption within, this is the sin of hypocrisy. If you fail to practice what you preach, if you say one thing but do another, you call yourself a Christ follower but you don't act like it, this is the sin of hypocrisy. If you perform the external acts of the Christian life but fail to surrender your heart to true discipleship, if you go through all the outward motions of the Christian life but are neglecting the inward devotion to God and His kingdom, this is the sin of hypocrisy. And if in hearing any of these things you are thinking more about somebody else than you are about yourself, this is most likely the sin of hypocrisy. And if any of this is true in your life, if any one of these things is true, then at least in that particular area, your Christian life is a sham. You're like an actor on a stage. You're wearing a mask that is disguising evil within. And at the very bottom of the sin of hypocrisy, at the bottom of it all is prideful deception. You're living a lie, bent on masking the corruption within while putting on the appearance of something better than you really are. And see, the sin of hypocrisy is a sin straight from the pit of hell, where Satan himself is the great deceiver. You see, Satan is the supreme hypocrite, for he is the prince of darkness who masquerades as an angel of light. And when the sin of hypocrisy sinks its claws into the Christian life, the result is misery. It is a miserable existence to pretend to be somebody you're not. And part of what makes hypocrisy such a dangerous and deadly sin is that it's infectious, contagious, pervasive. Jesus says it's like yeast, and we all know what yeast is. As a small amount of yeast works its way through an entire batch of dough, so the sin of hypocrisy can have a penetrating and pervading influence. And this is really true at both the individual level and at the corporate level. And so if there is hypocrisy in you, it will eat away at your spiritual life like a canker. It has this penetrating power to corrupt the whole person. It changes who you are. The actor on the stage has to keep on playing the game, has to keep finding new ways to maintain the role, to keep up the appearances. And the pretense can consume you. One pastor who was caught up in sexual sin said, if you don't take off the mask of hypocrisy and breathe the air of honesty, your soul will shrivel. If you keep on seeing the specks in the eyes of others and refusing to deal with a plank in your own eye, if you keep on deceiving yourself, if you keep on harboring secret sin, if you keep on putting on good appearances that only mask evils within, if you keep going through the motions of the Christian life without honestly exposing and grappling with matters of inner devotion, then you are allowing the sin of hypocrisy to consume you. And it may seem that you're getting along just fine. It may seem, in fact, that you're relishing the game. It may seem that you are feasting on the deception and the lies, but to paraphrase Frederick Buechner, what you are really wolfing down is yourself. The skeleton at the feast is you. And the pervading infection, the pervading corruption of hypocrisy extends beyond the individual into the body of Christ. This is not a private sin. If you have hypocrisy in your life and you're part of the body of Christ, then it can spread like yeast throughout the body, contributing to systemic corruption and disease. A hypocritical person can lead to a hypocritical church. And a hypocritical church is repulsive to Christ because it is full of fake people who are full of corruption and wearing their pretty little masks in the name of Christ. And it makes the world want nothing to do with Christianity, and even more tragically, it makes them want nothing to do with Christ. And we as Christians should be cut to the heart by the words of Friedrich Nietzsche, who said, I might believe in the Redeemer if his followers looked more redeemed. And these words capture how devastating the sin of hypocrisy is. A hypocritical church is one that embraces the mission of Christ in word but fails to live it out in deed. It's a church full of people who have the outward appearance of being healthy but are sick inside. It's a church that is deceiving itself, going through all the external motions of Christian worship and kingdom service while they wither away like dead fruit on the vine. I saw a nature show a while back. Part of it was about jungle ants. And these jungle ants were being infected by a parasitic fungus. I can't remember the name of the fungus, but it was a parasitic fungus, and it eats away the ant's body from the inside out. And so when the fungus has finished its work, all that remains of the ant is this hollow shell of a body with this grotesque fungus growing out of it. It was like some image from a horror movie or something, these grotesque images and formations of fungus growing out of these ant shell bodies. And if other ants come into contact with an infected ant, they become infected as well, so that entire colonies of ants can be destroyed by this deadly fungus that works its way from within. And this is the way hypocrisy works in the body of Christ. It is slow and insidious and constant, eating away its victims from the inside out with the potential to contaminate others in its midst. As Paul said in 1 Corinthians 15, verse 33, bad company corrupts good character. So be on your guard, Jesus says, against the yeast of the Pharisees, which is hypocrisy. And Jesus goes on to say then in verses 2 and 3 that the hypocrite's game is a fool's game. In other words, the evil of hypocrisy will be exposed. Whatever you are hiding in your hypocrisy will be unveiled. The mask that you are wearing will be stripped off. Hypocrisy is a game that you will always lose. For Jesus says, there is nothing concealed that will not be disclosed, nothing hidden that will not be made known. What you have said in the dark will be heard in the daylight, and what you have whispered in the ear, in the inner rooms. In the inner room, by the way, houses back then were often made of mud, and the external walls were made of mud, and houses had inside their house, they would have a separate room in the inner, in the inside of the house where they would store their valuables and their treasures so that people couldn't dig through the outside walls to steal them. And so this inner room is the innermost compartment of the house. And whatever you have whispered in the ear in the inner rooms, Jesus says, will be proclaimed from the rooftops. Well, this is a reference to the all-knowing mind of God and the final judgment. The penetrating gaze of God sees everything, and at the final judgment, everything will be exposed. There is no hiding from the gaze of God. Your sin will find you out. Whatever you are hiding in your hypocrisy will be unveiled. Whatever secrets you hold in the inner chambers of your heart and life will be exposed. The hypocrite is like an actor on a stage putting on the appearance of righteousness, and everything is okay as long as that mask is in place. But Jesus says hypocrisy is a charade that will end in the hypocrite's worst nightmare. The mask will be taken off, and the real person underneath will be exposed right there on the stage. There's a Dutch proverb that says, even though the lie runs ever so fast, the truth will overtake her at last. And that's the point Jesus makes. Your deception can't outrun the truth. Your mask of hypocrisy can't withstand the penetrating gaze of the Almighty God. The house of cards that you have so delicately built will come crashing down. The mask lifted and the real person underneath exposed. Some of you may be familiar with the Hunger Games books and then books that were turned into movies. And in the Hunger Games books, the capital is a place of pretense. It's a place where all kinds of corruption and injustice is masked. It's a place where the rich people in the capital indulge themselves in all kinds of luxuries while the poor people in the districts are exploited. The people in the capital dress in these elaborate costumes, and they are disguised with these over-the-top hair and makeup, and whether it's intended or not, it's a picture of hypocrisy. The face of the capital is one giant mask that is disguising all the corruption within, but in the end, the evil of the capital is exposed, the mask is stripped off, and justice is served. And so too with the sin of hypocrisy. Whatever has been hidden in hypocrisy will be revealed. Whatever has been concealed in deception will be exposed in justice and truth. These hard words of Jesus cry out for a solution, don't they? Be on your guard, Jesus says. Be actively engaged in preventing the sin of hypocrisy from corrupting your life and your church. If hypocrisy is a deadly poison, then we need to know the antidote. And if the heart of hypocrisy is prideful deception, then the antidote is humble honesty before God. Humble yourselves before the Lord, James said, and he will lift you up. That's the antidote to hypocrisy. A heart that is truly humbled before God and surrendered to him and filled with the Spirit will not wear the mask of hypocrisy. If you have hypocrisy in your heart, then the call of Christ is to be sincere. Be authentic. Stop pretending. If you're hiding secret sin, then confess it. If you're putting on an appearance to cover up all the junk in your life, then expose it. If you're quick to see the sins of others but slow to see the sin in yourself, repent of it. If you're harboring bitterness and resentment towards someone and hiding it from them, then reveal it. Stop allowing that fungus of hypocrisy to eat away your spiritual life. Stop infecting the body of Christ with your deception. And there are a lot of ways to do this. Just in your own personal walk with God, surrender to the Spirit. As Scott mentioned, with the Spirit in you, hypocrisy goes away. But I think one of the best ways to do this in the life and in the context of Covenant Church is through discipleship groups. To get in a group where you can be authentic and real. Find a place where you can be authentic, where the mask can come off. And if there's not a group that's available to you that fits your schedule or that fits your needs, then consider becoming a leader yourself. We'll be happy to train you how to become a discipleship group leader. You can start a group of your own. Just don't settle for a Christian life that is a sham. Find a place with a friend or with an accountability partner or with a group. Find a place within the body of Christ where you can be genuine and wrestle honestly with your sin. Because the easy thing to do is to do life on the surface where everyone pretends that everything is okay and we're all good, happy Christians, but the plain truth is that none of us are. We're all wrestling with our own demons and darkness and sin. And so many of us are hiding behind our self-made masks because we don't like what is underneath the mask, and we're afraid of what might happen if the mask comes off and the real thing underneath is exposed. Because there's something hideous and ugly behind the mask. There is this beast of our sinful nature that we don't want anyone else to see. And so we disguise it and just go on pretending that everything is okay and putting on the outward appearance that we're all good. But here's the problem with that. Is that the disguise doesn't work. It never works. As Abraham Lincoln once said, you can fool some of the people all of the time, and all the people some of the time, but you can never fool all the people all of the time. And even more importantly, you can never, not even once, fool God. And in the end, whatever you have tried to keep disguised will be exposed. So the solution is not to disguise what is ugly, but is to humble ourselves before God and others, to take off the mask and to acknowledge who we really are. That is, in our sinful nature, we are hideously ugly. But in union with Christ, we are beautiful. You see, that's the antidote to hypocrisy. So stop pretending. Stop putting on a good appearance. Stop hiding behind your mask. Admit who you are. And we're all in the same boat. We're all ugly, hideously ugly, sinful nature creatures that are only made beautiful in union with Christ as the power of the Holy Spirit dwells in us. So admit it. Admit who you are. Confess what you've kept hidden. Acknowledge your need of Christ. Humble yourself before the Lord, and He will lift you up. The story is told about a zoo that was known for its wide variety of animals. And one day the gorilla at the zoo died, and so to keep up the appearance that the zoo still had the full range of animals, the zookeeper hired a man to dress in a gorilla suit and to walk around in the gorilla enclosure at the zoo. But this was the man's first day on the job, and he didn't really know all that well how to act like a gorilla and what to do and how to move, and so he was kind of getting into the role, and he got a little too close to the wall of his enclosure, and he tripped, and he fell down into the lion exhibit below. And as the lion came toward him, he began to scream in terror, thinking for sure that he was going to die. And the lion was right upon him, and the lion spoke and said, "Be quiet, or you're going to get us both fired." It is a miserable existence to do life in disguise. Be on your guard against the sin of hypocrisy, Jesus says. Humble yourselves before the Lord, and He will lift you up. Let's bow together. Lord Jesus, in this space of silent prayer, we come before your throne, having heard your words of warning about the destructive dangers and the pervasive evil of hypocrisy. So, Lord, in this space of silence, we invite your Holy Spirit to come into this place, into this sanctuary, into this church, into this body of Christ, and into each and every person who is gathered here into our own hearts to search us and to try us and to expose within us those things that we are masking and hiding and disguising. The evils within. And in this space of silence, O Lord, we confess them to you. We ask for your Holy Spirit to expose them and to teach us and to show us what we are to do with them, that we may be authentic and real, that our masks may come off, that the sin of hypocrisy will be surfaced and removed from our lives and from this church. So, Lord, hear our prayers of confession and surrender this morning. Lord Jesus, may your Spirit reign in us. May the masks come off. May we see ourselves as we really are and come authentically before your throne and before others. That your Spirit may so dwell in us that the mask of hypocrisy is not able to stay on. So we pray, O Lord, that you would have your own way. Search us and try us, Master, today. Open our eyes, our sin show us now. As in your presence, humbly, we bow. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. If you are